It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
There we go. No, I actually thought about, like, pretending I was somebody else for this one. I'm Slappy, and you're William. And no. Hope it's picking me up good. We haven't changed anything since last time, so. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is basically like listening to a Florence and the Machine album if Florence and the Machine were terrible podcasters. Just awful. And not musicians, or at least they didn't put them on their podcast. They just did a really shitty podcast and made that their album. This was it. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode... Oh, no.
God damn it.
177, I think.
I think you are correct. And based on that, you need to try and remember the next one, because we're going to do the next one in an hour.
I know.
Hold on to that. For those of you who don't believe, this really is me. I had a bad chest cold, and it's basically gone, but this is always the last stage. So at this point, I'm not coughing very much, although with a lot of talking, I may some. And I'm not. It's not sore or anything like that, but this is just what happens at the end. So you get 2 hours of this, because we're recording this week's and next week's, so you're welcome. That's just, yeah. That's our gift to you. For those of you who have never listened before, I don't normally sound like this. That's why the last 30 seconds was about that. We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like to email it because it's a good thing to do. And in fact, more people should do it more often. The hat would like more things. Emails, just short little ones with, you know, a question, a topic, a comment, something like that. No big whoop. Doesn't really matter. The hat, on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We draw those out, those cards, at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. Also, Ezzy is here.
And recently we started videotaping drawing some cards out of the hat, and it's on YouTube. You can find it by going to YouTube and just searching for the Magical Talking Hat.
Pretty much any place in the world, if you go and look the Magical Talking Hat, and we have something in that medium, it's there.
Yeah.
Nobody's vying for that particular namespace.
You'll also find a bunch of sites that pertain to Harry Potter, but those aren't usually at the top anymore.
No. And especially if you do it all together.
Yeah.
The Magical Talking Hat works real good. Ezzy may be around a lot. Ezzy's been particularly needy lately. She misses her mom. So that's that. So, how was your week?
I was fine, but you know, you should talk about yours because
a lot has happened.
Yes, and also your voice might get a little tired as time goes on, and you know, whenever
so you're hoping for
No. Whenever we record two at once, it's kind of become a thing where I'll talk about my week, and then you'll talk about your week the next time because what else are we going to do? But you know, you might not
make it.
Have the vocal fortitude to talk about it.
I might be dead by the next episode.
Well, you might want to be okay taking a rest while I talk about other things.
Oh my god!
If I choose to do so, because I don't even know if I have anything.
You heard it now, here, people. Next hour is going to be all about superhero cartoons.
No, I don't even know.
Get ready for that next week. Yeah, I guess it's been 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Has it been?
Yeah, because I was in Virginia.
Oh, okay, sure.
So, I went to Virginia. So did the producer. She left the night we recorded those other two. Or that day she had left.
She was already gone.
Yes. She went, because she goes out with her sister and her sister's kids. They road trip it out there. And so they left, and then I left, and we arrived about the same time, because I left Saturday morning.
But you flew.
But I was flying, so we arrived about the same time at Virginia Beach. And we all got settled in the house, and it was very cool. A friend of the family who normally goes but wasn't going to make it, apparently, at the last minute it turned out that she could, and they didn't tell anybody. So I just woke up Sunday morning, and she was there, so I was very happy about that. Because she's my primary swimming in the ocean partner. Because despite it being the beach and all this stuff, most of them don't swim anymore. But she and I do. So that was cool. It was really fun for about 3 days. Then what I thought had been the vestiges of, like, the allergies I'd left behind in Iowa turned out to be a full-blown head cold. That about a day later went into my chest. And the rest of the trip was basically me sleeping and occasionally coming out to eat and then go back to bed.
Well, I thought this was going to be a big, you know, this was going to be your last hurrah before Weight Watchers and everything.
No, that's what this week is.
Oh.
Which is still terrible. No, it's bad. I'm finally sort of coming around because it was getting to a point where it's like, I'm going to make myself eat this horrible food and I don't even actually want it. But on principle, I'm going to do it, you know. And, I mean, I did. I ate some great... And that's the hilarious thing, because we had a kids' night out while we were there, which meant essentially my generation and the producer's generation. Mm-hmm. So none of the old people and nobody's kids. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us went out. So it was just us sort of young adults. Mm-hmm. And we went to this place, and quite a few of us had quite a bit to drink. By our standards, I mean, I think I had like 3 craft beers over dinner, which for me is a ton. And then the next morning is when this all kicked in. So it a little bit looked like I had just like partied too hard and I had to tell people, I'm like, no, trust me, that's not what it is. And I got some really good seafood and stuff like that. So that was nice.
Now, this feels like a dumb question, because I seems like I should know the answer to this, but Trish's family doesn't live out there.
No. Trish's father is from there, and his parents lived there. They're both dead now. His sister still lives in Virginia. There meaning Virginia. This Virginia Beach thing was started about 31, 32 years ago.
But they don't live in that area?
No. But a lot of them lived close by, because Virginia's not that big.
No, but there's a distinct, I think it's called the Piedmont area, where it's flatter and it's closer to the ocean, and then you go inland a little bit, and then you get to the hills.
Yeah. I think they live around Winchester and Richmond and stuff is where the family lived.
Okay.
Although his dad was a minister, so there was a fair bit of traveling also, you know, different.
A Methodist church. Minister?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But, so apparently back in the day when there were more relatives out there, they would get a house. Maybe even somebody owned one, I don't know. But, and then all the people from Illinois, which is the producer and her parents and her siblings, would drive out there. Mm-hmm. And then they'd stay, and it became a family tradition. And as time went on, and the other relatives got too old, died off, stuff like that, the parents sort of kept it alive, and so they would rent a house.
The producer's mother is from Illinois, or she's also
producer's
not from
mother there? Is from Illinois.
From, okay, where?
Born in Marseilles, Illinois.
And that's where the producer grew up, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the producer grew up in Virginia till she was 3, and then Illinois.
Oh, I see. Like I said, it seems like I should have known that already, but yeah.
But so, it becomes this thing now where they rent a house for 2 weeks, they're retired, they're just there. Mm-hmm. The producer has more vacation than anybody, mm-hmm. so she goes out for 2 weeks with her sister, who's a homemaker, and the two kids who are A, homeschooled, and B, on summer vacation anyway.
Well, how old are they?
At this point, they're 7 and 9.
Oh, wow. They're older than I
thought. Moving along. Yeah. And so they're all out there for the full 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the rest of the kids, me, the sister's husband, the other sister, the brother's wife, and their children, try and basically make it out for 1 week. And we sort of try and all do the same week because we want to see all the children.
Mm-hmm.
So this week was the first week. So the sister with the kids' husband actually flew out Friday night. And then Saturday, producer, her sister, and the kids drove in. Parents drove in. Somebody picked up the brother, or the husband. I flew in. Later, the other sister flew in. That day, the brother and his family drove in from Georgia. They live in Georgia.
Oh, Georgia, yeah.
And then we were all there. And then Wednesday, my father-in-law's sister, who I called George, for reasons I may or may not have discussed on here before, came out with her daughter and her daughter's fairly new baby named Sumner, which is not a name I had ever encountered except in the pilot episode of Cheers.
You mean as a first name?
Yes.
Okay.
Diane is brought to Cheers by the professor she's running away with, whose name is Sumner Sloan.
I see.
Never encountered otherwise. But this kid, his name is Sumner. He has a ridiculous amount of hair for a 7th-month-old. I'm pretty sure it's a wig. It's ridiculous. Anyway, on Saturday, separately, Sumner's grandfather, which means my father-in-law's sister's husband, and Sumner's dad came out, and I think they just stayed for the weekend. I left Saturday. The other two people flying were going to leave. Oh, and the Georgia people left Saturday. The other two people flying were going to leave Sunday. I believe there were problems, and they left Monday. And then the producer probably will leave tomorrow. And then Saturday, the parents leave, and that'll be everybody. Why is your tail wet? Oh, you've been smacking against the Powerade. Okay, good. I was like, if that's pee, I'm throwing you across the room. All right. So that was way more detailed than you wanted in that process.
No, I was interested.
But yeah, so Tuesday night, we went out.
Listeners were,
Wednesday,
but I was.
I was sick. And then I was sick since then. And then I went home on Saturday. And there was difficult traffic getting there, so I almost thought I was going to miss the plane. I did not.
Good.
I realized at this point I was very enthused to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was I a little bit family funned out, but just in general, I was sick. I wanted to sleep in my own bed, and the prospect of nobody to bug me for a week was kind of awesome.
Right.
Except for you tonight. So I got on the plane. This is going to sound like a boring story, and it is to non-listeners, but for you guys, trust me, it's going someplace. So I get on the plane. I've got a window seat. There's 3 seats in the row. I've got a window seat. I'm experimenting with windows again. I used to do aisles because I like my legs and stuff. But windows, you can just lean against them and rest and stuff. And I might like that better. So I'm experimenting with that. Anyway, I got a window. So, as luck would have it, the other two people are already sitting down before I get there. I feel bad about this. It's a big guy. Big, fairly brawny looking white guy. Very close cropped hair. Maybe he's in a frat. Maybe he's in the military. You know, he's a generic white guy. Decent-looking guy. Generic bro dude. He's not that guy. He's dressed very casually, normally. That's fine. But anyway, generic as hell white guy. Probably gave guys like me wedgies in high school. I don't even know. Next to him is this lady I'm going to assume is a little older than me. Maybe 40s somewhere. Smaller woman. Sitting there. So I come over, I'm like, sorry guys, I should have been here sooner. And he gets up, moves out of the way. She doesn't seem to notice. And then she looks at me. She's like, oh, are you in here? And I said, yeah. She looks over and she looks at me and she says, do you mind if I just scoot over? And I stare at her for a second.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, really? That's some ballsy move there. I know you specifically requested the window for the situation where the three of us are going to be smushed together. But how about just for funsies, you sit in the middle, squish it between the two of us? Who says yes to that? The answer is, I do. Because the plane trip is like 1 hour and 10 minutes, and I'm just happy I'm out of there. So I say, it's short enough, go for it. So she scoots over. As I'm sitting down, I'm fighting, physically fighting the urge to be like, you know I'm the nicest person in the world, right? And you should never ask anyone that, because the answer's always going to be no. What the hell is wrong with you? Didn't say it, though. I sit down, I put my Kindle in the thing, I put all my other stuff up there, I'm going to read. If I do anything, I'm going to read. So I put it in the little thing in front of me. Somehow it came up that I was in a good mood. I'm like, I have a week of fun in the sun with my in-laws behind me and a week alone at home without the wife in front of me. So I am in a good mood. And the guy, remember, generic white guy, looks over at me, looks at the Kindle, he says, so you look like you read. I know if I had a week by myself, I'd probably be doing some binge reading, you know, like read the entire Song of Fire and Ice, or Ice and Fire, whatever, you know, the George R. R. Martin thing.
Okay.
I'm like, this is a weird thing to say, but okay. So I tell him I read the first one, didn't go on, I have a rule about series that aren't finished, da 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 da. So he starts talking to me, well, what are you reading now? And I did a lot of reading when I was sick, when I couldn't sleep. So I went through, I'm on this new trilogy, the Jean de Flambeur series. First one's called Quantum Thief, and the next one's called Fractal Prince. I'm still in the middle of that one. It's really cool, sort of transhuman sci-fi stuff. It gets kind of dense in places and things. So we're talking about that, and then we're talking about other series, and at certain points, like, yeah, I love this stuff. I'm really into, like, role-playing game stuff. And I was like, oh, really? So then I start telling him about the game I'm running, and he start, and then we get into video games. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, the woman next to us is like, my son would love it here right now, just listening to you guys. And we go on. Turns out, he's only recently gotten into RPGs. He didn't do it growing up. Mm-hmm. But something recently, he got into that. And so he's doing them, like, for kids, for, like, his nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. And he's designing one, because he's got a 4-year-old daughter that he makes up these stories about. And so he's actually building out that world. He takes out a Moleskine journal. He shows me, like, the map of the island he made and all the cities and the demographic. How many elves, how many dwarves. I'm like, this is my childhood spelled out. Like, this was junior high right here, what you're doing. And he starts asking me advice because, like, I've never actually run anything for grown-ups. So just the entire trip we talked. The entire time. Near the very end, the woman says, you guys are into video games. My son wants to play such and such game. But I'm nervous because I've heard, and so we start talking about how to watch out for that with video games and stuff. It was just a great time, and she said, she's like, you guys made the time go by really fast just listening to you. It was a really fun time, and I wonder, way better than any plane flight I've had.
Yeah, but I wonder if you hadn't sat in the middle if that wouldn't have happened.
That's the thing. I said, it's a good thing I let you switch, or we'd be talking over the top of you the whole time.
Well, or not talking at all because of that, you know, because it would be hard to...
Here's the bit I don't get, because this has happened before. How badly do I radiate gaming nerd? Two separate occasions when dealing with cashiers, in, I'm going to say, the last year, they have said to me the words, you look like a gamer.
It, like in what context?
Like in no context.
Like you're at a supermarket and someone says that?
One was at a gas station convenience store. The other one might have been, or I feel like it was like at a like a casual dining restaurant. It was some place where I was paying at a cash register rather than table service.
And there was nothing to indicate this?
Well,
did you ask them why would you say that? Or
I believe with one of them at least I was like, that's really odd, but yes, yes I am. The second one, It's entirely possible she was just doing that to everyone who came in, because it turns out her husband and her own the Hobby Corner store over here.
Oh, so she was,
and so she was talking trying to about get that place. To... So maybe she just every single person, but I find that unlikely. And I'm like, it's true, but why does everybody? What is it about?
I mean, you don't wear T-shirts that have any kind of design on them to indicate.
Here's the deal: I'm fat, I'm bearded, and I have long hair, and I'm white. Fat, bearded, long-haired black man probably wouldn't be accused of being a gamer. But fat, long-haired, bearded white man, maybe that strikes a chord with some people. But it's weird, and similar thing here. Like, it's possible he just pukes all this stuff out on everybody he meets. And I happen to be the first person, you know, who had the other half of the amulet, as it were.
Well, I mean...
But it just seems weirdly dead on.
Oh, no, I mean...
Because books I got, even video games, when he starts talking about how he's into role-playing games, I'm like, okay, that's a weird coincidence.
No, right, but it started with the Kindle.
It did.
And, you know, a person who...
And Song of Ice and Fire, which is a big deal.
A person who's a bibliophile is going to notice someone who's got a Kindle. They're going to think... People who read have Kindles. I mean, let's face it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason to have one.
Except you can't tell because this is a Kindle Fire HD, so it's a full-on tablet, and you can't even tell that from the outside. It was in its case.
I know, but my experience is that bibliophiles are always on the lookout for other bibliophiles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if they even have the slightest hint that someone is, they're immediately going to start talking about what they like to read. And so it was just he probably would have talked about that with anybody, and maybe they would have been into science fiction, fantasy, or whatever. Maybe they wouldn't have, but it was worth bringing up to see.
Yeah, but he and I did the whole time.
Yeah.
It was really kind of amazing.
But I don't think he had any indication that you were into those things. I think he was just taking a chance because he is. And again, my experience is those people are looking for other people like them.
And I do feel like he's going through social stages that the rest of us hit earlier.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, in fact, that was the thing. He's like, I don't even know how to find gamers. And so I was giving him tips on that. I'm like, these are all things we go through in high school.
Right.
And a little bit again after college.
Right.
But
see, those kinds of coincidences, I mean, my dad has stories like that where he'll get on a plane and he'll find out that the person he's sitting right next to is, I mean, he'll be getting on a plane in Washington State and the person who's sitting next to him is from Iowa. Might even know somebody that he knows. I mean, this kind of thing happens to people all the time.
When the producer and I took a train trip to Denver to meet my parents for a weekend, and they were waiting for us at the train station, and they're hanging out with the security guard. We were a little bit nervous, because why are they with the security guard? Turns out, because my mom can't not talk to people, it came up that where Trish is from and the security guard used to live in the same tiny town in Illinois and knew the family and, like, all sorts of stuff.
When we were in, when we went to South Dakota with the kids, maybe it's been about 10 years ago, maybe not quite that long ago, but anyway, we were in South Dakota, and there's a place, sort of a sightseeing place, and there's two ways to get to it. You can go to a parking lot that's just... you know, it was right up the hill and then you're there. Or you can take this 6-mile hike through a designated wilderness area to get there, which is what we did.
Of course.
With the kids.
Because you're a family of assholes.
We ran into one person. The whole trip, 6 miles there, 6 miles back to our car, we ran into one person, and he was from Iowa City. It was bizarre.
And I used to have more of these experiences on planes. The thing is, I hate plane travel now.
I do too.
So I don't make conversation.
Oh, I'm just like, because you're just kind of in a mood, you just want it to get over with.
If I can sleep, that's great. If not, I'll read. Leave me alone. Let's just get through this.
Yeah.
And he was talking, and I mean, I'm not. I didn't.
Well, see, another thing about
it was nice, but then I was like, holy.
Yeah, another thing about conversation in airplanes though is it's loud in an airplane, so you kind of have to talk loud, and it's.
We got dirty look. I think he and I may have been talking a little too much. I got some dirty looks at one point, but she didn't say anything, so I was like, fuck it. We were having fun. And then I've been back, and I went to work, and apparently I didn't consider the fact that although the illness was getting better by the time I came home, I still hadn't been doing anything for a week. So I went to work, not feeling too bad, by noon, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, worn out, sure.
So I came home, took the rest of that afternoon off, and then since then, I have canceled all my evening. I've made it to work every full day, every day, but I've canceled all of my evening plans. So basically, outside of work, you're the first person I've talked to this week.
Wow.
And I'm not probably going to talk to anybody Friday or Saturday either, so.
Well, then you probably didn't like it when I said, hey, can we do two? Because I'm planning on going to the Iowa State Fair next week.
Yep, yep.
First day of the fair on Thursday. I like going on the first day. I don't usually, obviously, because, you know, we've been doing this for a while. And,
yeah.
But I have an opportunity to go the first day. So when I said that, you must have thought, oh, great, that's going to
No, it's fine, because this doesn't really wear me out. And, okay. And finally, that's the thing. I'm sick of being by myself. It's really wearing on me. I also obviously am not going to the gym at all this week. With upper respiratory stuff, I get asthma. And
sure, yeah.
Gets more aggravated by exercise, so I would fuck myself up. Mm-hmm. So that means on Monday, I'm going to wake up at 5:15, which I haven't been doing. I've been waking up at 6:30 this week. Wake up at 5:15, go to the gym for the first time in 2 weeks. And start Weight Watchers. So here's what I figure.
Okay.
Either I'm basically going to rocket myself to incredible health really fast.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be dead within 48 hours.
Well, it'll be difficult, I'm sure.
One or the other is going to happen.
Very challenging.
So that'll be fun. otherwise, I'm going to hang out. I've finished Skyrim. By which I mean I finished the last DLC, and I was going to go back and do the Civil War stuff, and I was like, no. I am tired of Skyrim. I have put 194 hours into Skyrim.
That's a lot.
I'm done. And so now I have 3 games that will probably be the next 3 games I play, and I can't quite figure out the order yet.
And what are they?
Red Dead Redemption, Assassin's Creed Liberation, and Fable 3. The order I just listed them in, I think, is the order I probably should play them in terms of what I think is good after playing what and so forth, and also what people are wanting me to play so we can talk about them and stuff.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I think it's about the exact opposite order of how I'm having the urge to play them. So, we'll see.
Well, we've pretty much finished all of the DLCs and everything to Arkham City, but it's one of those things you can keep going and playing.
Yeah,
so
totally.
We've enjoyed that. Actually, for Batman Day, you know, DC had a special 75th commemorative day, I guess you could say.
Ooh.
Batman Day. It was the Wednesday before last Thursday, you know.
They re-released that video of a drunken Adam West fighting with Jerry Lawler.
No, if we'd recorded last week, I would have talked about it. But we sort of celebrated. The one thing you could do on that day is you could go to participating bookstores, comic book stores, and bookstores like Barnes & Noble, and you get a free comic book. I didn't do that. But we did some other things.
Weirdly, it was a Blue Beetle comic book. What the fuck?
No, it was a Batman comic book where they kind of they redid the original comic book, like different art and different... Anyway, I think you can probably still find it out there somewhere.
And all the villains are trying to steal Hostess fruit pies.
But we've already been watching Batman Animated Series this year, so we did that. We did stuff with the game, and one thing we did was in Batman Arkham City, Crime Alley is in the game. You know, where Bruce's parents were killed.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And you can go there.
I heard he was just a boy.
You can go to Crime Alley and
cry
if
a
you
lot.
Stand in the right place, you can pay your respects, you know. And what happens is Bruce sort of kneels on the ground there, and then some music, special music, starts, and the camera starts kind of like go around, and if you just wait a while, it's just this kind of a poignant moment for about 2 or 3 minutes,
and then he stands up and punches someone in the solar plexus.
No, that's it. Just he stands up, and then he actually doesn't stand up. He only stands up if you, like, he could sit there for hours, I guess, if you don't move him.
Oh, I believe he could.
But the music only lasts.
Some would say he's been sitting there for decades.
The music only lasts a couple minutes. But that was one thing we did, like, on that day. It's like, well, let's go pay our respects to
celebrate Bat Monday.
Batman Day, yeah.
Bat Monday.
That was kind of fun. Just to sort of, you know, to participate in something.
I told you it was going to happen.
To participate in something other people around the world were doing, you know. Why did you have me give that to you when I could just hold
on? Good point. Okay, here's the deal, Andrew. This gentleman is an associate of mine. He's going to give you some money to mow the lawn. Do me a favor. Don't do it tonight. All
right.
Because we're recording tonight. Anytime after tonight, go nuts. All
right. Thanks.
Thank you. Like I called you my associate, like I'm some sort of mob boss.
I don't know. You know, this is the third time in, like, almost as many weeks that he's been in the podcast.
I feel like he knows he can catch me on Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. But Monday. I like to say it that way.
Well, Comic-Con was going on at the same time, you know, so that was kind
of
neat. There's a DC All Access, a news type of thing that you can watch on YouTube, and they were sending out interesting little news stuff about DC releases and Batman and everything. It was very cool to watch. So, you know, it's been kind of fun to.
What day of the week was Bud Monday?
It was Wednesday. Remember, I just said it was.
But I didn't listen.
Right before.
That's right. Okay.
Like I said,
it would have been cooler if it was Monday. But Monday.
I guess so. It was a week from yesterday, you know, previous, is what it was.
All right.
Or something like that.
Did other people see this day, or is this just in your imagination?
No, it was kind of a big deal for people who are fans of DC and Batman in particular.
Well, as you can see, I put up my decorations.
Yeah, there's your Batman playset we talked about.
Batman Cave. It's like the Ricardo Montalban version of Batman. Batman. This is my Batman Day.
You know, it's kind of funny,
and that's in that version of Batman, he doesn't refer to everything as a bat something. He refers to it as a Batman something. These are my Batmanerang. This is my Batman movie.
It's interesting.
With rich Corinthian leather.
Yeah, it's interesting going after, you know, one thing that happens a lot is people talk about all of the different incarnations of Batman or different versions of him, you know. So you kind of get to thinking about that, and it's not something that until recently I gave a lot of thought to, and I've talked a little bit about it on the podcast too. And it's kind of interesting. I know you've said in the past that you're not a big fan of Batman because you think he's kind of a jerk. But that's a particular version of Batman.
That is true.
That has dominated the comic books.
Since what, 86?
Yeah, exactly. Which I also am not a big fan of that particular Batman. I mean, some of my favorite stories are in that era. I do like some aspects of what they can do with the character psychologically and everything. But if I had to choose, you know, which Batman I like, it's not the modern day Batman at all. It's not Frank Miller's. I mean, we're really talking about Frank Miller's Batman.
Yes.
More or less.
We're basically
something based on it.
Dark Knight Returns.
Well, and characters that are consistent with that vision. But that's not, you know, the whole Batman who's kind of, well, like that, what one guy says in that Batman sketch, basically I'm rich and nuts or whatever.
Yeah.
That Batman. And not in every version of Batman is about him being rich and nuts.
Sometimes he's just rich and focused.
No, sometimes he's motivated for similar things that motivate, say, Superman. You know, he wants justice, he wants fairness. Sometimes he
another of my favorite superheroes.
Sometimes he wants to rehabilitate, you know, he doesn't want to punish them, he wants to rehabilitate the people he's after. I mean, that's a very specific
impressed
kind of Batman, which I like.
When I was playing Arkham Asylum, a while back when I was at my in-laws, and my nephew was watching, and he's like, kill that guy. And I explained, I'm like, Batman doesn't kill. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, he does. I'm like, no. He will beat the crap out of him, but he won't kill him, at least in his mind. Some of these people did not recover. I'm sorry. Fucking Arkham games. Some of those guys, at best, will never walk again. Some of them got to the hospital and did not make it. I'm sorry. But anyway, doesn't kill. So, we're at the beach. Weeks later. And my brother-in-law is doing something where he's messing with the kid or whatever. And he's like, I'm Batman. I'm going to kill you. And the kid's like, Batman doesn't kill. I was like, I can't believe that stuck. Cannot believe that stuck. Nothing sticks with that kid. Especially when it's counter. Because when I told him Batman doesn't kill, you know what his response was after he said, yeah, he does. And I said, no, he doesn't. He said, aw. Yep.
No, I, yeah, it's interesting just how wide the spectrum is of Batman characters and, you know, how different he is from one person to the next. The whole thing about his parents dying and that motivating him to fight crime, that's about the only thing that a lot of the manifestations of Batman have in common, yet that's enough for everyone to feel like, yeah, it's the same character. You know, all these dramatic differences, as dramatic as they are, they don't seem to make a difference. Everyone still recognizes that character as Batman. That's pretty incredible when you think about it.
My favorite version of Batman is Ezio Auditore.
Well,
dude, look at the pictures. He's basically Batman.
In the animated series, he's very interested in, you know, rehabilitation. There's this one great episode with Harley Quinn in it where she is diagnosed as sane and she's able to leave Arkham. And Batman congratulates her. And then when some misunderstandings cause things to go wrong, he's there trying to help her, you know, not get so upset about it, not decide she wants to go back to a life of crime. He's trying to help her. But she objects by saying she's having a bad day or whatever. But eventually she ends up back in Arkham. And he's there. And she says, well, what? You know, why did you just try to help me? You know, I've never given you anything but trouble. And Batman says, well, I know what it's like to try to rebuild a life because I had a bad day once, too, you know. And that's like, yeah, to me, that's the best version of Batman right there. Not a guy who's just angry and he just wants to beat people up and he's never going to feel like he's doing any good. And he's just burdened by this vow he's made to his dead parents. You know, this version who wants to help people and wants to see people get better. That's the Batman I like, which... You know, that's actually closer to the Batman you see in the movies than to the Batman you see in the comic books right now.
And to me, that's just generic. I'm like, oh, so he's a superhero.
Well, and actually, you know, even as we're playing Arkham City, that's very close to that Batman.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the Batman that has the widest appeal.
Well, and that when it comes to comics and comic book characters in general, I'm way less interested in the sort of four-color version. The Truth, Justice, American Way heroes. I'm like, that's not interesting. I'm not saying it's unrealistic, because there are people that are like that. It's just really not that interesting. I'm like,
well,
oh, you're a good person trying to do good things. Good job.
Well, I think it's interesting.
Yes, I believe that.
But I understand it's not interesting to everybody. I mean... that's what I think's great about
comic books. Must be interesting enough to people because it's been popular.
Yeah, sure. And I, you know, I think it's great that there are so many versions of Batman that just about everybody can find one that they like. I think that's awesome.
All right, you now need to go to the whiteboard we have on the wall near our recording equipment and change the episode since we've talked about Batman on the air to zero. Wait, it's already zero. Never mind. We're fine.
You know... It just so happens with that's what I'm doing. You know, we're playing Arkham City. We're watching the animated series. If you ask me how my week is, then I'm always going to talk about Batman for a while.
Especially when it's Bat Monday.
I'm just saying. You know, if you don't want me to talk about Batman, Just saying.
I don't want you to talk about nothing, but unfortunately it's not about what I want. What I want is to go put you in the trunk of the car and record this by myself with some vodka.
We've probably taken way too much time in
general. But we're going to have to kill another hour afterwards. So. All right.
I know, but this is the magical talking hat.
Let's add it up. The magical talking bat.
Our listeners are very generous with letting us talk, though. I have to say that. Remember,
that is true.
Remember the show where we didn't even draw anything out of the hat, and everybody was very understanding. And
maybe why we're down to like 6 listeners.
Well, maybe.
Although actually, recent things have led me to believe that people that I had thought stopped listening, some of them are still listening.
Andrew Talon.
Dear reviews, voices.
Yeah, dear dissonant and confused voices, forced voices of the Magical Talking Hat. What is your favorite joke?
Dear dissonant and confused lost voices of the Magical Talking Hat.
What is your favorite? What is your favorite joke?
That one right there.
For a long time, my favorite joke was, and now I can't remember it. Shoot.
That's why it stopped being your favorite.
Wow, I can't believe I don't remember this joke because it was my favorite joke. I told it all the time.
Something happened at the beach house like that, and I almost said out loud, and then gives up. And I'm like, wait, nobody but Trish here will understand that joke.
I want to say the joke is, what is Irish and always outside? But that doesn't seem right, like what the joke is.
And it seems racist.
What's Irish and always outside? Of course, the answer is Patty O'Furniture. But I don't think that's the joke.
I hope not.
Because
if that's your favorite joke, I'll kill you.
It was my favorite joke for a long time.
Then I'll kill
That's the punchline. Patty O'Furniture is the punchline.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is hilarious. But I think the setup was something else. What's always outside? No, maybe it is what's Irish and always outside. But it doesn't seem like the Irish part. It seems like there was something else you said. So that was a little more surprising when you said Patty O'Furniture. Right?
Does that make sense? Just rattled off a bunch of stereotypes without actually saying Irish?
No. Maybe that is what it is. Anyway, that used to be my favorite joke. But obviously, I've kind of forgotten it. So I must have a new favorite joke, but I don't know what it is.
Have I told the welder's mask joke? I think I've told the welder's mask joke on here before.
I don't know. The only joke I remember you making a big deal out of telling was the farm joke. That didn't really work out.
Just because you guys didn't think big enough. I did like that joke.
The welder's mask.
Yeah, you're going to hate this joke. So there's a kid walking along the side of a road, and he finds a welder's mask on the ground. So he picks it up, and he puts it on. This is a pretty little kid. Puts it on. He thinks it's cool, so he's like lifting it up, the visor, and back down and all this. Mm-hmm. And while he's doing that, this truck comes along and stops and says, "Hey, kid, you want a ride?" Kid's like, "Sure." So he gets inside. He's messing with the little thing, and the guy's like, "So, kid, you ever heard of pedophilia?" Kid's like, "No." He's like, "How about homosexuality?" Kid's like, "Nope." He's just messing with the thing. "How about fellatio?" And the kid turns to him and says, "Look, mister, I'm not a real welder. I just found the mask." I love that joke.
Why?
Because I think it's hilarious.
I don't think it is hilarious.
I love it.
Or even very funny. And maybe part of it is I don't entirely get it. I mean, I get that the kid doesn't know what any of these things mean, so he thinks that the guy's asking questions.
The guy's asking because of the
well,
but the kid's
but I what I
a welder.
But I don't see why that's funny. I guess. One of the first jokes I remember my dad telling was about a guy named Herb who was really famous. Everybody knew Herb. Have you ever heard that joke?
Oh, for us it was Bob. Yes, yes. Oh, God, this joke.
It's a pretty good joke.
Went on forever.
And you can change it to fit the times. Like,
oh, we always just went basically mayor, governor, president, pope.
Oh, I think when my dad first told the joke, it was the president was one of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But also...
And you do switch it up for whoever's the president.
And, like, at the time, he told that it was... He knew Burt Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
So you might use a different celebrity now.
Okay, yeah, we always just did...
But it always ends with the Pope.
Always ends with the Pope. For reasons I'm not entirely sure of, it just makes a really good image.
Well, it's... I mean, you... If you know the joke, you go ahead and tell it, because you probably tell it better than me.
All right. Do you want me to use Herb in honor of your family?
No, you can... Whatever works for you.
There's two guys named Ed and Bob, and they're talking one day. And Bob was shooting his mouth off, talking about how he knew everybody.
And everybody knows him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ed's like, you don't know everybody. You know a lot of people. You don't know everybody. He's like, I do. He's like, okay, you don't know the mayor. He says, yeah, I do. And they went the next day, when they were done drinking, to the mayor's office, and he got in and met with the mayor. And Ed got to meet the mayor, mm-hmm. which he thought yeah. was kind of cool, and, mm-hmm. and they hung out for a little bit. And he was like, see, I know everybody. He's like, okay, you know everybody, maybe, in this town, but you don't know the governor, who happens to be Burt Reynolds. He's like, yeah, I do. It's like, this weekend, we'll go. So they went to the capital of the state. To the governor's mansion, and they got to see Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, Governor Burt Reynolds.
In the state in which he's governor. Dude, weirder shit has happened.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, see, I know everybody. He's like, you don't know the president. He's like, I do. Like, whatever. A couple weeks go by, but eventually Ed gets in the mail an engraved invitation to a White House dinner, and Bob... got one too.
Yep.
And so they go, and he meets the president.
Barack Obama.
Yes. Or Burt Reynolds. I don't even know. Leslie Nielsen.
But whatever. The point is, Bob knows Barack Obama.
Yes.
And gets an invitation.
And
to
they
White
do
House.
The thing, and Ed's like, okay, that's pretty impressive. But you don't. He's like, I know everybody. It's like, you don't know the Pope, okay? You don't.
Now that's going for broke, because.
Yes, you don't know the Pope.
This is huge if you know the Pope.
He's like, I know the Pope. It's like, you don't. I'm going to prove it. I will pay for tickets to Rome. We'll go.
Go to the Vatican.
So they go to Rome. They go to the Vatican. Mm-hmm. And the Pope's going to come out. And so the people in the street. And here's the thing. And this is why it's funny to me. When I was 5, I was actually there. And this is what happens. They all show up because he's going to come out on his balcony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so.
But Ed's waiting.
Ed's waiting. Well, Bob says.
Yeah.
Which I find hilarious. Bob's like, I'm going to go inside. Talk with the Pope for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll be back. Which, to me, sounds fishy anyway. Like, yeah, whatever. But he leaves, so Ed's out there. So Bob does go back and talk with the Pope, and he ends up coming out on the balcony with him.
Yeah.
Standing there, and they're waving and all this
stuff. Right next to the Pope.
And he looks down, and Ed looks up and faints. And Bob's like, oh, shit. And he runs down. He goes, wakes up Ed, and he's like, I'm sorry. Me knowing the Pope was probably just too much for you. He's like, no. I was pretty sure after all of this that you knew the Pope. What freaked me out was when the person next to me pointed up and said, who's that up there with Bob? That might be our winner.
Yep. That's one of the first jokes I ever heard.
That is a classic.
Dad came home from work, and he told that joke. I think the way he ended it was the guy, in the way he told it, the guy was Herb's friend was unnamed. But he didn't faint or anything. He was just amazed that Herb's up there, you know, talking to the Pope. And then he just says,
and then
a guy just says, hey, who's the guy in the white cape standing next to Herb?
Who's that up there with Bob? Just became like a catchphrase in our family. But it does remind me... of the other one, and this is an earlier one in my family. So a guy says, I'm going on vacation. I need you to look after the place. You know, checking on things. Most importantly, you need to check on my cat. I love my cat. Feed my cat, water my cat, check on my cat. Guy says, okay. So he goes on a trip. While he's gone, he calls the guy a couple days later. He says, how's things going? How's my cat? Guy says, your cat died. There was a terrible accident. He was hit by a car. He's dead. Guy's like, oh, God, my cat. I love my cat. He's like, I can't talk right now. But okay, whatever. He hangs up. He calls him back a couple days later. It's like, I'm doing okay, but I really... I wish you hadn't just come out and told me, because I'm going to be gone for a while. So you could have broken it to me, like, slowly. So, like, when I talked to you, you could have said, like, oh, your cat's on the roof and won't come down. And then a couple days later, you could be like, he still won't come down and he won't eat anything. And then a few days after that, you could be like, the cat starved to death. And I would have been, you know, prepared.
Yeah, right, right.
I was like, I'm sorry, you're right, I haven't been a good friend. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But your cat is dead, and I'm sorry about that. So, okay, just whatever. I'll talk to you later. Hangs up. So he calls him back, because he's still taking care of the house and stuff. It's like, everything going, he's like, so how's my mom doing? It's like, oh, she's on the roof.
She's on. Yep, I remember that one, too. That's
yep,
a good one.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Now, do you remember, were you there? I think you were there when Sarah told us the joke about Steve the Beaver and Sam the Clam.
No, I don't recall
that.
Do
you not remember this joke?
I don't recall it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story of Steve the Beaver and Sam the Clam.
Okay.
They were the best of friends. Frolicking together in, I'm going to assume, the river. I don't even know where a beaver and a clam would hang out together, but they were
river,
very good
sure,
friends.
Yeah. River.
Anyway, one day,
creek maybe,
terrible accident, they both die.
Mm.
Steve the Beaver finds himself ascending up through the clouds, up in front of a set of pearly gates. Sure enough, this angel there says, welcome to heaven, Steve. Here's your harp, here's your halo, here are your wings, welcome to heaven. He's like, thank you, it's great, where's Sam the Clam? I thought he also died. And they said, he did, but he was not as good of a guy as you were, and he's in the other place. It's like, he's in hell? My best friend went to hell. He's like, yes, he did. There's nothing you can do about it, just deal. Okay, fine. Steve the Beaver goes into heaven, plays his harp, flies around on his wings, all that bit.
All that bit.
And he's doing okay. And then one day, one of the senior angels comes over, says, you've been here for a while, Steve. How do you like it? Heaven. Like, it's good. But I really miss my friend, Sam the Clam. Senior angel says, okay, you've been here for a while, you've adjusted. We'll tell you. You can go visit him. But just the one time, and you have to be back by midnight. And you have to bring back all your angelic accoutrements. Your wings, your harp, your halo, all that stuff. Or you can't ever come back and you'll be stuck in hell. So, okay. So he goes to hell. And he asks around for Sam the Clam. Turns out, Sam's kind of a big thing around here. He owns a giant disco.
In hell.
Yes. And he goes to this place. This is a disco owned by Sam Clam. And Sam's like, hey, how's it going? And Steve's like, I've been in heaven. He's like, I know. I heard. Welcome. Come on. Let's party. And they go, and they party the night away. Because they're good friends. And because apparently hell's a swinging place.
I guess.
But it's not heaven. And Steve's like, I'm going to have to go. He's like, okay. But they party a little too much, and it's getting close time. He's like, crap, it's like 10 minutes till.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go back. So he gets out of there, hugs Sam, takes off, flies back up to heaven. He's out of the gates right at midnight. He's like, oh. He's like, you got all your stuff, or you can't get back in? He's like, yeah, the halo's good. The wings are good. Oh, crap. He's like, what? He's like, I left my harp at Sam Clam's disco. And that joke is dying off. Because kids today don't know that song.
There's a whole almost genre of jokes like that.
Yep.
There's one that I would tell if I could remember it. I can kind of remember the punchline, but it's no good if you can't tell the setup to it.
Do you remember the asshole rambling ones? I mean, these ones are long, but there are some jokes that the whole point is that you talk until people stop you, and then you have some punchline that screws them over. There's one I know that involves talking about cornflakes developing their own civilization. Like, they stay in the box too long, and so they evolve, and they develop their own civilization. And it becomes this process where the civilization gets destroyed, but, like, a few cornflakes survive and make a new civilization. And you do this over and over and over until they ask you to stop. And you say, I can't stop. It's a cereal. And there's some other damn one. Kirk tells some stupid one about the Aberhasky Hotel that just doesn't have a punchline. He just talks forever and you just get pissed off. There's a whole genre of those fucking jokes.
Well, there's there are also these jokes that apparently are really popular in Germany, I found out.
This could be really interesting.
That maybe I shouldn't talk about it because I don't think I can remember one. But it's the kind of thing where you, where the punchline just doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, I shouldn't even have brought this up because I can't remember one. I can't give a good example.
I think you just
it's like where you start like you're going to tell a joke, but the punchline is, it's not funny, you know? The whole thing that's funny about it is you're setting people up to think that you're about to tell a joke, but you end up not really telling one. Like, it would be like two guys walk into a bar and then they sit down and have a few drinks.
Nah.
And that's all you say. And the person just sort of looks at you like, and that's it. You know, that's what's funny about it is you set them up to anticipate a punchline, and then you don't really give them.
This is from the same country, though, that basically invented porn where you poop on other people. So,
well, I don't know. It's a kind of a popular way of telling jokes.
Two guys walk into a bar, the third one ducked.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
My grandfather used to tell one that I just thought was funny because it was an old guy doing fake Irish accents. Talked about Mrs. O'Flaherty and Mrs. O'Toole. Mrs. O'Flaherty and Mrs. O'Toole are neighbors, and they hate each other. But it wasn't always as such. They used to be the best of friends, and every day they would come out to their fence and they would chat between the two of them. And so one day, Mrs. O'Flaherty and Mrs. O'Toole are out at the fence, and Mrs. O'Flaherty says to Mrs. O'Toole, I'm going to the doctor today. And Mrs. O'Toole says, oh, really? He says, yes. And they told me to bring a specimen. And I said, a specimen? What's a specimen? I don't know. And Mrs. O'Toole said, well, piss in a bottle. And Mrs. O'Flaherty said, well, shit in your hat. And the fight was on.
And the fight was on.
Yep. That is my grandpa's joke. And my other grandparents' joke that they really loved. And I really loved because it was the first time grown-ups told me something with the word shit in it on purpose. So there was this man working in a factory in the winter time, and you get a break to go outside, but it was really cold outside, and he was outside and he saw this bird in the snow just frozen, and he picked up the bird and he held it in his hand during his break and sort of warmed it up, and it started to get a little better. It was a little baby bird, and it would get better, and it would go cheep 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 cheep. He's warmed up, but then the whistle blew and he had to go back into work. And he's like, I can't just leave the bird out here. It's going to freeze again. And the factory was right next to a farm. And he saw just over the fence there was a pretty fresh, still steaming cow pie. And he's like, that's warm. So he takes the bird and he puts the bird in the cow pie. Bird's fine with this. Bird's like, cheep, 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 cheep. Fine. Goes back inside to work. Bird's sitting there, happy as can be, warm. Apparently birds can't smell. It's just nice, cheep, 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 cheep. And a fox heard the sound of this. Cheep, 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 cheep. Followed it, found a bird, ate the bird. There are three morals to this story. It's not always your enemy that puts you in the shit. It's not always your friend that gets you out of the shit. And when you're in the shit, keep your mouth shut. I thought it was so hilarious until I got older and realized I just really liked that old people would say shit and would let me say shit.
I do like, there are certain gags I like from like Warner Brothers cartoons that you rarely get a chance to use yourself, but when you do, it's pretty cool. Like if somehow a person feels like they have to tell you that, or if you can get a person, if you can sort of trick a person into telling you that a certain person, who, like Albert Einstein, for example, is obviously dead. You know, yeah. Like, well, you can't talk to Albert Einstein because he's dead. And then, of course, you can then say, dead? I didn't even know he was sick. I love there that from Warner Brothers cartoons. And if you can maneuver somebody to, you know, to trick them into thinking you didn't realize that someone who's obviously dead is dead, you can totally maneuver them into that joke and they'll look at you like you're crazy, but it's hilarious.
I do a thing whenever anybody says they're hot, like too warm. I have been doing this for years. I'm like, well, you're pretty cute, but I don't know that I'd go that far. And I've found this is a really socially awkward one to do.
Yeah.
I did it from a fairly early age. And, of course, at the early age, it was dangerous to be telling people they were cute. And then as I got older, like, I did it to my sister-in-law. And she laughed, but I'm like, it is weird because she's my sister-in-law. So, but, yeah, that's just my joke. I don't know what that's about. We are over time now, so you're welcome, world, for that. And we'll see you in 2 and 2. No, wait. It'll be about 10 minutes for us. For you, it'll be a week. So 3 and 4 days. Go away.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.